Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Ayin Vav. We're going to, God willing, finish the sixth parak of Erevin today, parak Hadar. We're going to start the seventh parak of Erevin, but that'll come up a little bit later on this morning. In the meantime, however, we're 9 a.m. at Vase, and we're finishing up one of the final sugyas of the sixth parak, and that's the sugya of regal, of passageway, right-of-way. Does right-of-way restrict or does right-of-way not restrict? So the construct case, which we keep coming back to again and again, is I have an inner chatzar and an outer chatzar. In the inner chatzar, let's say we have more than one resident. Let's make it simple. Let's say we have two residents in the inner chatzar, and let's say we have two residents in the outer chatzar. And the inner chatzar is landlocked. The only way they can get out of their chatzar is by walking through the outer chatzar. Now, so what do we learn? So we learned that, according to some opinions, that's going to create a problem. Because the fact that the inner chatzar has to walk through the outer chatzar, it's almost as if the residents of the outer chatzar, which means that they're going to be restricting the Erev of the Outer Chatzar. The Outer Chatzar has to create an Erev in which everyone contributes to the Erev. Problem being is that these people that are walking through, that have to walk through, are also considered residents, and if they don't contribute, so therefore they're going to restrict the Outer Erev. Could it be possible that we're going to be able to merge the Inner and the Outer? Absolutely, sure you can. The Inner and the Outer can be merged into one Erev. We talked about that yesterday, but if we don't merge them, so then the inner is going to restrict on the outer. What did we learn back in the Mishnah? There are three opinions on the matter. Three separate opinions on the matter. They are the Tanakhama, Rabbi Kiva, and the Chacham, and let's just quickly review. The Tanakhama has a split decision. Rabbi, the Tanakhama says that the regal, which is Aser Bim Koma, which is prohibited in its own place, meaning the inner chatzar didn't make an Erev, and the inner chatzar didn't unite. And so therefore, the inner chatzar cannot carry within their own chatzar. Their regal is going to restrict the outer chatzar. So that's regal hasur bim kama is going to be oser. However, regal hamuteres bim kama, regal which is mutter in its own location, so that's not going to be oser. Okay, I tried to think of a svara, why that should be, what's the difference between regal haoser versus regal hamutter. Okay, I don't have a good one yet, so I'm not going to offer one up yet, but that's the position of the Tanakhama. And then we have the two extreme versions. We have then Rabbi Akiva, and then we have the Chachamim. So Rabbi Akiva says, regal is always going to be oser. Always. Doesn't matter whether it's coming from a place which is mutter, a place which is oser. The inner chatzar made a Erev, doesn't make an Erev inconsequential. According to Rabbi Akiva, once you have regal, once you have right away, so therefore that will restrict the outer chatzar. So again, the only solution for Rabbi Akiva would be to merge the two chatzars together into one chatzar. And finally, the opinion of the Chachamim, which is regal, is never going to be oser. Okay, the Chachamim disagree fundamentally with this whole principle of regal, so it seems. And according to the Chachamim, that means the regal is never going to be oser. Ad kan divrei ha-mishnah. That's the Mishnah back in Ayin Hayam and Aleph, the three opinions about regal. The Gemara, the entirety of yesterday's daf, Ayin Hay, not the entirety, most of yesterday's daf, was dedicated to just simply explaining the Mishnah. Meaning, I presented the Mishnah to you in very simple in very simple outline fashion, but it took the Gemara a while to get to where I just brought it to you. Then we turned to Ayin Hay Amud Beis, and yesterday we had a braisa that described an attempted merge. An attempted merge was made. They put the Erev in the outer chatzer, and somebody forgot. Somebody forgot to contribute to the Erev, and so now what's the story? So if they put in the outer chatzar and somebody forgot, so you're always going to walk away with a problem, as the Gemara explained yesterday. But let's say with an attempted merger merger Erev, where the inner and the outer want to merge together, and they put an Erev in the inner chatzar, and now somebody from the outer chatzar forgot to contribute to the Erev, so now we had a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Akiva, what were the two positions? Do you remember? We saw yesterday. So let's just quickly review them. Let's go into the Gemara, where Ayin Hay Amud Beis, and let's start up a little bit from the top of the Amud. So, Benjamin Pinim is a little Erev Shem Asuras Nasu Eruvim Bepinimis. Well, three lines down. Nasu Eruvim Bepinimis. We're talking now about an attempted merge between inner and outer chatzar, and the actual Erev itself was put in the inner chatzar. Shacha Chacham in Pinimis Velo Erev Shem Asuras. Okay, so if somebody from the inner chatzar forgot, so then they're both going to be aser. Min hachitzona v'lo irev shem asur is divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now, if somebody from the outer chatzar forgot, so the shem are going to be aser, or at least that is the position of Rabbi Akiva. V'chachamim omrim b'zu panimis muter v'chitzona asura. And the chachamim say, on this case, no. The inner one is going to be mutter, and the outer one is, I'm sorry, yeah. The inner one is going to be mutter, and the outer one is going to be aser. So Gemara now wants to know, on this one particular case, how is it working out? Meaning, again, let's think about this. We have an inner and outer chatzar, an attempted merge, which means that everyone was going to contribute. The actual air of itself, the basket of bread, was placed in the inner chatzar, and somebody from the outer chatzar forgot. Okay, that's the case. And in that case, Rabbi Akiva says, well, everyone lost out. Since there was a failed contributor, somebody did not contribute, so therefore the Erev does not work for neither the inner nor the outer.
Had the inner chatzar made their own Erev already?
Yeah. Let's assume yes.
So this is an additional Erev to make with the outer.
To merge with the two together. And the Chachamim say, no, the inner one is fine, the outer one is not fine. So, Amalei Rabba Barchan Labai Maishal Rabban Adami Panimis Muteros Mishum Da'achta Dasha O Mishtamsha. So the Gemara says, let's just look at it from the perspective of the Chachamim. Should make sense, the Chachamim's position. Meaning they could just shut the door. Meaning even though there was an attempted merge, every member of the inner chatzar contributed to the Eruv. It's just somebody from the outer chatzar failed to contribute. So, close the door. I don't know if the Gemara means you have to do this literally, but either way. You close the door, and the inner chatzar basically says, we're dissolving the merger. Because, we're good, so let's just dissolve the merger by simply shutting the door. So Rabbi Akiva nami techa dasha v'tishamish. So according to Rabbi Akiva, so why isn't he in favor of the same idea? So Amalei Erev Margila. So the Gemara says, well, since that the Erev was placed in the inner chatzar, and since there was a merger attempt, so all the members of the outer chatzar basically made their residence, if you will, in the inner chatzar. Erev Margila. It made them accustomed to being in the inner chatzar. The Rabbanan Nami Erev Margila. Well, if you're right about Rabbi Akiva's position, so why isn't that true also for the Chachamim? So the Amra, so the Gemara over here seems to be giving a totally new Svara, and that's the following. The Amra l'tkune shitavtich v'lo la'avusei. So now the Gemara says, that's not really what's behind the Chachamim. What's behind the Chachamim is the following. Look, we're merging. But the only reason why any two people merge, or any two companies merge, or in this case, any two chatzeres merge, is obviously for benefit. The purpose of a merger is for a benefit. So let's get this straight. We in the inner chatzer, we made Neiruf. We're good. Now you wanted to merge with us so that we can have now one entire Eruv, so that you inner can carry it to the outer can carry it to the inner, good. That's also wonderful. But if one of you failed to contribute to the Eruv, and it's going to impact us, we're not interested in that kind of merger. So in other words, we're only merging only as a benefit. But if it comes out that by merging, we're going to lose out, we don't want to merge. It's almost like it's a conditional merger, conditioned on the fact that it helps us. So the Gemara says, so that's why the Chachamim say that if the Eruv was placed in the inner chatzar, and every person in the inner chatzar contributed, and one person in the outer chatzar did not contribute, at that point the inner says to the outer, we don't want this merger. So we're dissolving the merger for the simple reason it's not helping us. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a very good svara. And why don't we use the same svara for Rabbi Akiva? So for Rabbi Akiva, I'll tell you why we don't have such a svara, because there is another solution. And the other solution is bittul. The members of the outer chatzar could say, look, we're really sorry. We tried to make an Erev together with you. One of us didn't contribute to the Erev. It's obviously Shabbos, now it's too late. But, says Rabbi Akiva, you know what we could do now? The outer chatzar could do bittul harishus. They could relinquish their rights. Oh, but wait a second, we talked about this about a week ago in the daf. Relinquishing of rights, you can't do that from one chatzar to another chatzar. You could do it internally in a chatzar, but you can't do it from one to another. So, and according to the Chachamim, that's just simply not an option, because that would mean be doing cross chatzar bittul. You can't do that, according to the Chachamim. Okay. And so therefore, where we're at right now in the Gemara is, an explanation of the Machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim really comes down to whether or not bittul can be done from one chatzar to another. Meaning the basic outline is that everyone in the inner chatzar contributed to the Erev. Not everyone in the outer one did. We would have liked to have made a merger, but the merger obviously is not going to work anymore. Why not just simply dissolve the merger? The Chachamim says, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to dissolve the merger simply because it wasn't to our advantage. The Rabbi Akiva says, no, you don't have to dissolve the merger, or at least attempted merger, because everyone in the Inner Chatzar can do Bittul. And the Chachamim says, yeah, but you can't do Bittul from one to another. That's the outline of the whole discussion. To which the Gemara says, wait a second. A week ago in the Daf, in the sixth parak of Erevin, we had a machlokas, Amorayim, between Rav and Shmuel, as to whether or not you could do Bittul from one Chatzar to another Chatzar. So you mean to tell me all along, while the Gemara was discussing the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, not a breath, not a peep about the discussion between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, and it comes out now that the machlokas between the Amorayim and Rav and Shmuel really turns into a machlokas Tanayim. And I guess the only real problem over here is, why didn't the Gemara above mention it? Why now are we learning about this? Lema, that's the Gemara's next point, Lema Shmuel v'Rav Yochanan, sorry, I said Shmuel and Rav. Lema Shmuel v'Rav Yochanan b'pilkta d'Rabban v'Rabbi Akiva k'mifligi. D'Shmuel amar k'Rabban v'Rav Yochanan d'amar k'Rabbi Akiva. And so now it comes out that really, this machlokas Amorayim is already a pre-existing machlokas Tanayim, where Shmuel is going to come out like the Chachamim, where you can't do Bittul from Chatzar to Chatzar, and Rav Yochanan would be following like Rabbi Akiva. And you know how it works, this happens all the time in the Gemara. Basically, what the Amora doesn't want to do is get pigeonholed. Meaning, don't put me just in that Tana's position, especially if you're going to be put into the Das Yachid. Meaning, even though there's usually a debate between Rabbi Akiva and another Tana, the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva, but here it's the Rabbi Akiva against the Chachamim. So certainly from the perspective of Rabbi Yochanan does not want to get pigeonholed into the position of Rabbi Akiva. So basically now what the Gemara is going to do is explain that the general discussion and debate about being Mevata from Chatzar l'Chatzar is not necessarily the same as to what's going on over here. Amlecha Shmuel, Anadar Ma'afila Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel says, look, you can have me go like Rabbi Akiva. Look, Rabbi Akiva over here says you can't do Bittul. In this case, you can't do Bittul, because over here, it's not two chaser side by side. It's one interior, one exterior. The Asrana Ahadade, where they're affecting one another. Right? Remember, Rabbi Akiva Shitas, Rabbi Akiva says that the inner chaser's rite of passage is going to restrict the outer chaser. So they affect one another. The two chatzers, which are side by side, which can just simply coexist. Remember, we've spoken about this a number of times. In fact, the beginning of the seventh paragraph, we're going to talk about it. Two side by side chatzeros, they don't have to merge. They can make independent eruvin one of another. They don't affect each other one bit. Avahasa mika asra nahadade. There's no impacting on whatsoever. So, in other words, so Rabbi Kiva over here will tell you that you can't do bittul, but there's a relationship between these two chatzeros, one restricts the other, and that's not true in the general side-by-side Erev construct. Rav Yochanan Amar, Ana D'Amri Afila Rabbanan. And Rav Yochanan basically will go along with a similar argument. Look, you can have me going like Rav like the Chachamim. I can look at me Rabbanan Hacha, Ela D'Amri Le Ademavat Lili, Ka'asra Dalai. So over here, what the Chachamim's position is that before we get on to the discussion of Bittul, how about this? How about we just simply don't merge? Meaning over here, you don't even need, you would prefer not to even engage in the discussion of Bittul, because obviously that would create Isser. Before that point in time, just simply a dissolving of the merger. Of Avahasa mikasra Allah, but over here in our case, there's no Isser on side-by-side chatzeros. So maybe the Chachamim would in fact agree to the position of Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara points out that yes, there was a debate in the Gemara about a week ago regarding Bittul Rishus Mechatzar L'Chatzar, but over here, however, there is a debate, but it's a localized debate to our discussion of internal and external Chatzar, because one prohibits the other. Okay. Good. That's the and that ends our discussion of the of regel, of restriction, and we have just a couple more things to cover before we finish the parak and start the new parak. Well, why isn't that you can't do Bittul Chatzar L'Chatzar? Oh, I don't remember. I should know this, but I don't remember. In terms of Rego, right? So the position of the Tanakhama, that split, where if the Rego is coming from a non-Erev Chatzar, that's a problem. That restricts. If the regel is coming from an Erev Chatzar, so that's fine. So in other words, it's a split decision between the two. Going further than the Gemara, we're 9 Hamad Beis. We are halfway down the Amud, the two dots. Vim hayu shal yechidim. The Mishnah talked about a scenario where inner and outer chatzir, one resident. One resident in the inner, one resident in the outer. Okay? So what is that? So the Mishnah says that's nothing. Meaning, there's no restriction, there's no need for an Erev. You could have made an argument that, well, since the inner has to walk through the outer, maybe I could view them as two people in the same chatzir, but the Mishnah basically says that's not how we're going to view it. There's no requirement for an Erev. Good, that's the Mishnah. I'm Rav Yosef Tini Rebbe. So now Rav Yosef teaches a Braisa, and he's attributing this Braisa to Rebbe. Hayu Gimel Asurim. If we just add one house, it's going to create an Isser. Now, obviously, the question that comes to mind is, well, where are we putting that house? Well, you have two options. I could add that house to the inner chatzar, I can add that house to the outer chatzar, or it doesn't really matter. Okay? We don't have a lot of information over here. All Rebbe says is that once there's a third house, that creates a problem. So Amalu Rebbe Bilo Tatsitsule. So Rebbe says, pay no mind. Don't pay any attention to Rav Yosef. It's not right. So first of all, it wasn't Rebbe who said it. It was the Amora Rav Adar Bar Ava. Okay? So that's number one. So Rav Yosef got that wrong. And by the way, I feel like we've been saying this every day in the Daf, but it has been coming up every day in the Daf. I'm not bringing this from an outside source. And that is Rav Yosef was sick. Rav Yosef forgot his learning. So very often over the course of Rav Yosef's life, in his second career of learning, his first career was also learning, but in his second career of learning, so very often he says things and he's either totally forgot or he misremembered. Right? I know that's a popular term. But he misremembered. So either way, the Gemara says it wasn't Rebbe who said it, but it was Rav Adar Bar Ava, v'ani korei behen rabim b'chitzona. And oh, by the way, the correct reading of this braisa says not Rebbe, but rabim. Right? He forgot a letter. So I'm Rav Yosef, Mar Davram, rabim b'rabbi echlifli. And Rav Yosef says, oh my gosh, that's right. Meaning, and I confused Rebbe with rabim. I get from this Gemara that probably every single time we say the word Rebbe, we're probably mispronouncing it. Meaning, it sounds more from our Gemara that the proper pronunciation shouldn't be Rebbe, but Rabbi. Now, I'm not going to start, because I'm going to sound weird by doing that, but it certainly sounds that way from our Gemara. That's how Rav Yosef confused Rabbi and Rabim. Okay. Either way, neither here nor there. The opinion of now, is we know it's not Rebbe, but rather it's Rav Adar Bar Ava. I guess it's not a Braisa, but rather it's a Memra. Okay, Rav Yosef got a couple things wrong, but the point being is that either way, this position is basically of the opinion that if there's Rabim Bechitzona, in other words, if we take that extra person, we put him on the outer one, so now we're going to have a problem. Because what we're now going to have is one residential Jew living on the inner Chatzar, two on the outer Chatzar, and according to this opinion, Rav Adar Bar Ava, it creates a problem. Now why? The Gemara doesn't give an explanation in terms of why. So stay tuned. Ushmul amar la'ola muteres hachiyu shnayim bepnimis ve'echad bechitzona. Now Shmuel goes the other way. No. If the two are living in the inner chatzir and the one's living in the outer chatzir, then and only then does it create a problem. But not if I have one in the inner chatzir and two in the outer chatzir. So, and now let's see if we can fill in a little bit of the missing pieces. Why should it matter? Meaning, what's the machlokas going on over here? Where according to one opinion, Rav Adar Bar Ava, I have two in the outer, one in the inner, that presents a problem. The inner who has to walk through the outer is going to restrict the outer. Why should that be? The inner one has no requirement to make an Erev. That's one question. And the opinion of Shmuel, right? Yeah. And the opinion of Shmuel is the other way. No. If two are in the inner and one is in the outer, that's going to create a problem. So what's his position premised on? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hareu Karabim. No. Sorry. I'm sorry, the Rashi is above. I'm sorry, Rashi is Amar Rav Yosef, Tani Rebbe Imhayu Gimel. Right, the Rashi writes at the very end of that Rashi, Gzera Mishum Rabin Bepnimis. Meaning, even if there's one Jew living in the inside, we're afraid that once the outer chatzar has the luxury of carrying, and they're going to say to themselves, we're fine because there's only one person living in the inner chatzar, what's going to end up happening is that perhaps another house is going to be built in the inner chatzar, they're going to be restricting on one another, and therefore the regel is going to be restricting the outer chatzar. So simply put, it's a gzera. That's, yeah, I mean, again, it's a gzera on the halachas of Erevin, but so it's, you know, always hard to try to explain that. Difficult time explaining that. But that's basically what's behind the position of Rav Abava. And Shmuel apparently learns, no such gzera. Meaning that if I have one person living in the inner, he has no requirement for an Erev, his regal is not going to restrict. Good. That's where we're at so far. So Amar Rav Elazar v'nachri harei karabim. Now Rav Elazar says, what if in the inner chatzar, it's not a Jew living in the inner chatzar, but it's a nachri, it's a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, he's like Rabin. Meaning there we're going to have a gzera. Even though one non-Jew living in a separate chatzar, his regel really shouldn't restrict, but the Gemara says, we're going to say it will. So, Maishna Yisrael Dolo, Aser, Demandi Yad Yada, Omanda Lo Yada Savayru Ve'irev. So the Gemara says, look, I don't understand. By the singular Jew living in the inner chatzar, so if you know that he's a singular Jew, so great. And if you didn't know that, and you thought, well, maybe there's a bunch of people living in the inner chatzar, I never venture into the inner chatzar, I really don't know. But the assumption is going to be, why isn't the regular going to restrict? Oh, it must be they made an Erev. Meaning, it's possible that the people who know will know, and the people who don't know, all right, they'll assume the best. Nachri nami, amrina, diyada yada, diyada yada, savar, iguri, ugar. So the Gemara says, oh, by the Nachri, well, why don't we say the same thing? People who know that it's one Nachri living inside, they'll know it's one Nachri living inside. And if they don't know that, meaning, so they'll just, and maybe it's more than one Nachri, or maybe it's a Nachri together with two Jews, so they'll assume, well, there must have been some sort of rental contract, like we discussed in the beginning of the parak. So the Gemara says, "Stam Nachri isa de oger mi papai." So the Gemara says, "Well, that's just simply not the nature of things. When it comes to a Nachri, if there was a rental agreement, we would have heard about it." The Gemara basically says, "Remember, the whole idea of rental." Is it's that awkward conversation, it's that uncomfortable conversation, and you have to ask him, can I rent out? And it's going to basically turn into a little bit of a tumult, and everyone's going to know. And that's part of the reason why the Chachamim had us do it. So the Gemara says it's impossible that people just don't know about it. So therefore, if there's a Nachri living in the inner Chatzera, so Gzera. Okay. And basically now, to finish up our Perek, we're going to now have a couple of cases where we're going to talk about merger Erevin. Now, it's a little bit unfair because basically the Gemara is going to give us scenarios assuming we know the following piece of information. It's one piece of information. Once you know this one piece of information, we'll be good for the rest of the perek. And that's the following. We're all going to contribute to the Erev. We're all going to put bread in the basket, and then we're going to do what with the basket? Put in somebody's house. The halacha is that it has to be a house. It has to be a home where people are residing in that home. Okay? Certain homes just simply don't constitute a house. A simple example, Beishar. Beishar, the gatehouse. Okay, you go into some of these developments, so what do you see? A house as you go into the development. That's a gatehouse. That's not a house. For the purposes of Erevin, A, he has no need to contribute. B, if I collected the Erevin, put it in a basket, and put it in his house, it's not going to serve as the Erev. The Erev has to go into somebody's residential home. And the Beis HaShoar is simply not considered a residential home. Okay, good. That's the one piece of information we need to know. We'll talk more about that in the seventh parak of Erevin. But right now, that we know that information, so let's now discuss the following scenarios. Why it comes up over here in our Gemara, I'm not really sure. How these cases got stuck in over here. All right. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Yud Batim Zulif Nimizu. Let's say I have two. Let's say I have 10 houses. And basically, one's interior to the next, which is interior to the next. I guess it's similar to the cases we've been talking about with the chatzeros, or interior one to the other. All right, either way. Okay. I don't want to overthink it. So anyway, I have 10 houses, one interior to the next. And now basically the so let's number them 1 through 10, 10 being the most interior. So in other words, in order to get to the 10th house, I have to walk through houses 1 through 9. And obviously in this construction it was assumed that way. Maybe let's imagine a hallway. Although if it's a hallway, it may be a different story, where now each unit is actually separate one or the other. So I'm not sure about the interior structure, and I'm not glossing it over. It's an important point. I'm just not really sure. Either way, the basic point is as follows. Panimi nosen eseiruvo vidayo. So this halacha, which is quoted in the name of Rav Yehuda Mashmul, is, so who needs to contribute to the Eruv? Contribute to the Eruv? What Eruv? Meaning the first house is opened up to a chatzer. And there are other houses opened up to the chatzer. So now, in this 10 in a row line of housing, who needs to contribute to the Eruv? So I would have said, all 10. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yehuda Mashmul, no, not all 10. In fact, only one. Only the 10th house, the innermost house. Why don't 1 through 9 need to contribute to the Eruv? All of them, 1 through 9, are considered a Beis Hashar. They're considered a gatehouse to the 10th house.
Even if there are people living there.
Yeah, that's why I'm confused also. Meaning, I'm not clear what's happening in houses 1 through 9. People living there, people are not living there, I'm not sure.
If you either lived or eat there, by definition, that's a...
Right, that's a, right. But because it's a way of getting to the 10th house, it qualifies as a Beis Hashar.
I'm based on the base where we had the Beis Hashar from before. Tosfos there says even if people are living in there.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense. Because if people are not living there, then there seems to be no chiddush whatsoever. Then it's an uninhabited house, which has no status. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Chitzon. Now Rav Yochanan says, even the outer one. Now the first way Rav Yochanan's presenting is that all 10 need to contribute, but the Gemara immediately says, no, that's not what he means. Chitzon Beisharhu. And in fact, it can't be, because isn't that first house the Beis Shar? So Chitzon Shal Panimi. So the Gemara says, no. What Rav Yochanan meant was Chitzon Shal Panimi, which means that according to Rav Yochanan, houses 9 and 10 need to contribute to the Eruv. So basically, it's a very limited machlokas between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Shmuel says house number 10, the most inner house. Rav Yochanan says houses 9 and 10. Now the B'mai Kemif, look at them where he wants to give us a little better understanding of what's going on over here. Mar Savar Beishar, Diyachit Shmei Beishar, Umar Savar Lo Shmei Beishar. And so the Gemara says very simply, it's a question of, how do you qualify as being a Beishar? If you're a gatehouse for only one other house, can you really be called a Beis Shar? That's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan says no. A Beis Shar, by definition, has to service more than one home. So therefore, houses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, so they are servicing houses 9 and 10. So Rav Yochanan says, then we can call them a Beis Shar. And Shmuel says no. Even if a Beis Shar is only serving one home, it still can qualify as a Beis Shar. So therefore, according to Shmuel, houses 1 through 9, all are considered Beis Shar, and the 10th home, and only the 10th home, is really considered a home. So therefore, it is the only one that needs to contribute. Okay.
10th home considered inside the Chatzar?
Yeah, in other words, it's part of the Chatzar. Absolutely. Even though, if you're living in the 10th home, you got to walk through 9 separate homes in order to get out to the Chatzar. But, and I'm not sure, again, there's much information here that just eludes me. If the 10th home has another egress, does that divorce him from this chatzer? I'm not sure. Okay. Either way. Okay, we're just getting the basics right now. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Abaravu, Amrav Beis Chatzeres, V'gimel Batim Meneihem. Another case. I got 2 chatzeres on the extreme, and then I got 3 houses in the middle. Okay, house number 2 is landlocked. On one side is the house, on the other side is the house, and obviously houses 1 and 3 are opening up into the 2 chatzeres, into the 2 exterior chatzeres. Now, Zeba b'derech v'zenos in eruva b'zeh, v'zeba b'derech v'zenos in eruva b'zeh. Zenas be'shar l'zeh, v'zenas be'shar l'zeh, emsai haver le'beish shemenichem bo'l eruv, v'ein tzarech le'tenes apas. Basically, what we can do is that we can create a merged Eruv for both Chatzeros. By the way, in both Chatzeros there are other houses. Okay? But in other words, we can create now a merge chatzer. The center house will be the point of placement of the Eruv. And of those three houses, none of them would need to actually contribute. Why not? Because in order to get to house number two, I have to walk through house number one. In order to get to house number two from the other chatzer, I need to walk through house number three. That means that houses one and three can be regarded as the Beis Hashar. As we just learned, once you get status of Beis Hashar, you don't need to contribute to the Eruv. So therefore, one doesn't need to contribute and three doesn't need to contribute. We are all putting the basket in the middle house, which is serving as the merged Eruv of both chatzeros. Oddly enough, the person living in the middle house doesn't need to actually contribute himself. Remember, what's the whole purpose of an Eruv? What does an Eruv do? An Eruv says that we all live here. Well, the person who actually lives there doesn't need to make any symbolic statement that he lives here, as he actually lives there. So therefore, houses 1, 2, and 3 all will not have to actually contribute to the Eruv, but for different reasons. 1 and 3 because they're Beis Hashar, and house number 2 because they're actually putting the Eruv in that house. So therefore, he doesn't actually need to contribute. And one last case that we need to go over. So again, all this, it's kind of funny that all this belongs in the seventh parak, but all right, I guess it's like an intro to the seventh parak. The Batik Lahu Rachva LaRabbanan. Okay, testing time. Beis Chatzer is Beis Batim, Beinayim. I have two Chatzeros and two houses in between them. Zeba Derech Zev, Venosin Eruva Bezeh, Vezeba Derech Zev, Venosin Eruva Bezeh. Kanu Eruv Olo. Now, basically, what the Gemara wants to know is, and I mean this here, it's like so literally, can we play both sides of the fence? Meaning that a Beis Hashar basically is any house where it's a means of getting to another house. So again, I have two chatzeros on the two sides, and two houses abutting one another between the two chatzeros. So let's call them chatzer A and B. If I'm standing from chatzer A, and I want to get to the house that's closer to chatzer B, I need to walk through the house on the chatzer A side. Okay. So we could say the chatzer A is a Beis Hashar, meaning it's not going to need to contribute to the Eruv if it's a Beis Hashar. If I'm now standing on chatzer B, I can make a very similar argument. That for me to get to the house that's closer to the side of chatzer A, I need to walk through the house that's closer to chatzer B. So that house could be called a Beis Hashar. Can I do that? Can I basically say, well, each house from different perspectives is really a Beis Hashar, neither therefore needing to actually contribute to the Eruv? Can I do that? Mi mashaluhu legabe dahai bias legabe dahai Beis Hashar, or legabe dahai bias Beis Hashar, legabe dahai bias. Can these statuses kind of like be nebulous and changing and shifting based on from what perspective we're looking at it from? Amrule shneim lo kanu eruv. And the answer was a very emphatic no. Manashachi beishar mashris leinos in eseruva bebeishar achsav drumir pesos eno eruv. And he bais mashrile kamatatal abais alo ma'ariv le. And you simply cannot do that. Meaning, I cannot nebulously simply say, hey, from my perspective, this is a Beis Hashar, and that house away from me is a bias, while meanwhile the person in the other chatzir is looking at the exact inverse. It cannot do that. In other words, houses need to have objective labels. Either it's a Beis Hashar or it's a bias. I cannot simply mix and match or shift. Maishna midravadam Rava, the Gemara wants to know, is this really any different than the case of Rava? I mean, you know this is a setup. The answer is going to be yes. But let's at least entertain the question. Is this really any different than the case of Rava? The Amar Rava, Amar Lo Shnaim, say, Ur Va'arev Aleinu. I basically hand out my Erev Tchum to two people. Now, we know the rules, the Erev Tchum, that's third and fourth prakim of Erevin, but basically it's Kona when? During the Ben Hashmashos period. La'echad Erev Alav mi Ba'od Yom, U La'echad Erev Alav Ben Hashmashos. Yes. So, and one of them set up an Eruv already from the day, meaning before the Ben Hashmashos period, and for the other person was set up during the Ben Hashmashos period. Zish Eruv alav mi ba'od yom nechal Eruv ha-Ben Hashmashos. V'zish Eruv alav Ben Hashmashos nechal Eruv mishatach shach. And again, in this very odd case, for the one whose Erev was set up during the daytime, his Erev was eaten during the Ben Hashmashas period. And for the one who was set up during the Ben Hashmashas period, his Erev was eaten during the night. Shnehem Kanu Erev. Now, for both of these people who appointed the Shliach, the Erev works. Even though there may not have even been an overlap time for these two Eruvim. By the way, it's clear that we're not talking about setting a Erev for one person, because one person only gets to set up one Erev. So in other words, this Shliach was doing it for two separate people. And even though he did it at two different times, and even though for the one who he set up during the day, the Erev was consumed, destroyed during the Ben Hashmashas period. And the one who was set up during the Ben Hashmashas period, his was consumed at night, both Erevin work. So in other words, you see, the Gemara thinks this is a question. And the Gemara thinks that, well, what do you see? Well, it's nebulous. In other words, there is no definite time in which the Erev is Kona, and so therefore there's a little room for maneuvering and negotiating. To which the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. Like, that's it's not comparable. Hasam Safik Yamama Safik Laila, La Minkra Milsa. Look, in the case of Ben Hashmashos, that's exactly the point. We don't know. We're not sure what Ben Hashmashos is. It's day, it's night, it's a Safik. So therefore, in the world of Erevin, which remembers the Din Derabanan, so we can be Mekel. So for the one who set up the Erev during the day, and it was consumed during the Ben Hashmashos period, so we could say check. Meaning it was there during Ben Hashmashos. Not all of it, but for some of it, it works. And for the other person who it was set up during the Ben Hashmashos period, and it lasted into the night, so there, I could be Mekel, I could say, well, it was set up during Ben Hashmashos, and at least we can make the argument, from a Suffolk standpoint, that it was set up during the day. Because remember, Ben Hashmashos, Safek Yom. So therefore, we could do that. Avahacha, Idlagabehai, Bayis, Lagabehai, Bayis. Idlagabehai, Beishar, Lagabehai, Nami Beishar. But over here, look, I'm actually looking at the houses. The house is going to gain a status. If for one person it's a Bayis, for somebody else it's a Bayis. If for one person it's a Beishar, for somebody else it's a Beishar. And I can't just simply say, well, nebulously, well, from my perspective, it's a Beis Hashar, even though from your perspective, it's a house. We can't do that. Okay, Hajol and Chadar, and that ends the sixth parak of Erevin. Okay, now we start the seventh parak of Erevin, more on Eruve Chatzeros. We start with a basic halacha, which we know already, but basically the halacha goes like this. I have two Chatzeros side by side. Okay. There's an opening between the two chatzeros which allow traffic to go from one chatzer to the other. So, how can they make two separate Erevim? Yes. Can they make one joint Erev? Yes. The option is theirs. There's no, and there's no stira mineu bay. If the opening between the two is not a Pesach, but it's a full-blown opening, so then it's just simply one chatzer. But if there was a wall there and just a Pesach, so that Pesach gives them the choice. Either two separate Erevin or one joint merged Erev. Okay? What we're going to be learning, the first Mishnah of the seventh parak of Erevin is going to teach us is, it doesn't have to actually be a doorway. As long as it's something that allows passage between one and the other, that will be sufficient. And it can even be a window. A tiny window. Chalon Shemin Beis Chatzer is Dal Adal Besoch Asara. Ma'arvin shnayim v'imratza ma'arvin echad. A window between two chatzeros, which means that the majority of what separates these two chatzeros is wall, but there's a small little window. It's only 4x4, so we're going to draw a square 4x4 tefachim. I mean, we're talking maybe a foot and a half of length and width of the window. It's tiny. Can we fit a person through it?
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe.
But like, when we had the whole thing with the Malway, we had even like, 3 tefachim was sufficient before.
What?
Or many
well, because you're Lavud? You're thinking Lavud?
No, for the Lechi, we said if like, 3
tefachim. Oh, okay, fine. Well, that's Lavud. Well, that's good. That's Lavud, and the Gemara for a moment is going to think that a lot of these halachas are going to be based on Lavud, but the Gemara is going to dispel that notion. And by the way, so in other words, so the actual area of window has to be 4x4 tefachim. And furthermore, the window has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground. Okay, as we're going to see in the Gemara, it's going to be very clear in the Gemara. Not the entirety of it has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, as long as part of it is within 10 tefachim of the ground. Okay. The Imratzu Marvin Echad. Pachos Midal Al Dalit. And then the Mishnah just kind of spells it out. And the Gemara is going to wonder. Mishnahs don't need to do that. Meaning, the Mishnahs assume that we're smart people and that we understand implication. So why do the Mishnahs just now spell out the implied statement? The Gemara is going to be bothered by that. Pachos Midal Al Dalit. If the window is less than 4x4, O Lamala Miyod. Or if it's about 10 tefachim, marvin shnayim vein marvin echad. Well, that's not a window. Halachically, it doesn't allow passage between one chatzer and the other. And so therefore, the two chatzeres are separated from one another. Okay. Lema tanan stamaka Rabbi Shimon Gamliel da'amar. Now, as I mentioned, when we started the Mishnah, we thought this Mishnah is really a function of lavud. Meaning, what's the idea of lavud? Anything within three tefachim is as if it's closed and connected. Anything greater than three tefachim, further apart than three tefachim, is not closed and not connected. Now, our Mishnah here talks about four, not three. Now, you'll remember we had this machlokas time and again. What is the actual measurement of lavud? Machlokas between Tanayim. And I made this point already a number of times. Lavud is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Rambam says we don't have machlokasim by halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and here we do. So, and that obviously is an issue, but okay, that's an issue, and I don't have a good approach for that. But either way, it's a machlokas. So according to the Tanakhama, which is the accepted opinion, a three. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, four. Okay, it sounds like our Mishnah over here that's talking about this window that has to be. Well, by the way, when I say three and four, I mean a little bit less than three and a little bit less than four. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, up to right. According to the Tanakhama, three is no longer lavud, and according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, four is no longer lavud. Our Mishnah over here that talks about the window certainly sounds like it's going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Stamish are going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's what it sounds like. So lema tanan stamik Rav Shimon Gamliel. Damer kol pachos midal kalav adami. Afilu tema kirabanan. And the Gemara says, don't do that. Don't say that. To which the Gemara pronounces, this is not about lavud. This is not a lavud halacha. This is a Pesach halacha. The definitions of a Pesach. So, it's not, and it doesn't at all impact the machlokus, Tanakama, Shem Gamliel. It's just a question of, what is a Pesach? It must be dal. I mean, we said from the beginning of Shabbos that dal is a makum chashav. Dal is considered a makum chashav, and I guess in this halacha of Pesach, it also defines for us what is the definition of Pesach. Okay, pachos midalit pshita came down dal pas besoch asar mimela ani adal de pachos midalit ulamala miyud lo have lo. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the Mishnah. Really could have cut itself down by 50%, right? And remember the Gemara Pesachim, we're going to see it shortly enough. Unbelievable, we're going to start Pesachim in less than a month, in about a month. But the Gemara Pesachim says that when you learn your Mishnayos, so you should learn a Bederek Tzara, meaning keep the Mishnayos as short as possible. And here we have a Mishnah that really 50% of it can get knocked off. Because the Mishnah says your Chalon has to be 4x4, okay, I get it. It can't be less than 4x4. And then the Mishnah says, oh, and it can't be less than 4x4. Totally superfluous. So, HaKamash Malan, time of the Kula Lamala Miyud. Ava Mitzaso Bisoch Yud, Me'ar Vishlaim V'imratz Ma'ar V'nechad. So the Gemara says, the reason of what seems to be superfluous in the Mishnah, it's not superfluous. The reason why it's there is to teach us the following. The entire window of 4x4 doesn't have to be within 10 tefachim. As long as part of it, any part of it, is within 10 tefachim, you're good. Tanila had the Tanur Rabban. In fact, the Gemara says, well, let's quote a Braisa. Braisa is going to make basically the same point. Kula lamala miyud, umiksasa besoch asara. Kula besoch yud, umiksasa lamala miyud, marvin shnayim ve'imrasa marvin echad. So the Gemara says, now, boy, just one second. Even in the Braisa, It does seem a little bit superfluous. Hashta kula malam yodim mitzasa besochir amar marvin shnayim v'emratz marvin echad kula besochir u mitzasa lamalam yod mi baye. Well, if only part of the window is within 10, so and that's good. If the majority of the window is within 10, of course that's going to be good. But the Gemara says zu ve'in tzarch zu ein tzarch lamar zu katani. That's a style. It's a style of the Braisa. The Braisas like to give you the bigger chiddush sometimes, and then the lesser chiddush. And it's just simply a style, and stylistically, that's how the Braisa is working. Amar Rav Yochanan Chalon Agol. And for another time in this Masechta, we're going to take a square and we're going to convert it into a circle. If you feel like we've been here before, so let me confirm your feeling. We've been here before. We've done this. We've turned a square into a circle. So we're going to go through computations, geometric computations, which, quite frankly, we know already. But it's great to review. So, I'm Rav Yochanan Chalon Agol Tzarech Shehei Bekefo Asrim V'Arba'a. And let's see how well we know this. Meaning, because the Gemara starts off by saying, the circumference has got to be 24. Okay, what? I understand. The square needs to be only 4 by 4. So that means that the total perimeter of the square is going to be 16. But if you're going to make it a circle, it's got to be 24. Okay. That's too big. So the Gemara says that's too big. So I'm sorry. And oh, by the way, of that circle, two and a little bit of change have to be within 10 tfachim. Why? She'im yirva enu nimtzu mashu b'sochyud. Because when you inscribe the square in the circle, you want an edge of that square, the bottom edge of that square, to be within 10 tefachim. Okay. That part's fine, but the bigger point, the larger point, is Rav Yochanan, your math seems to be totally off. Meaning, the perimeter of the chalon is 16 amos, and when you're now drawing the circle around it, you got to 24? That's strange. Michti. The Gemara is going to note that that's strange. Koshi yesh be'kefa shosh tefachim yesh bo berokh tefach. So, you know how the Gemara is going to work? The Gemara is going to work in stages to try to get to the right number. Well, the Gemara starts off by the following. Well, you know the relationship between the diameter and the circumference. We've gone over this many times. It's 1 to 3. Right? If you think it's 1 to pi, you're right. But as we talked about earlier in the Masechta, it's 1 to 3. In the world of Halacha, it's 1 to 3. Right? Kav, Kavah, right? The Vilna Gaon. Okay, we've been here before. Anyway, Koshi yesh be'kefo shosh tefachim yesh bo berokh v'tefach. So the relationship between diameter to circumference is 1 to 3. So now, the diameter is 4, right? In other words, and right now the Gemara is thinking we're just going to draw a circle around that. Now, I know right now that the square, right, it's the perimeter that's 4. Again, as I mentioned, it's going to take us a couple steps to get to where we need to get to. So, betrace our saga. So right now the Gemara thinks, okay, so if the diameter is 4, and now I want to draw a circumference, and the relationship between diameter to circumference is 1 to 3. So I'm going to take the diameter of 4, multiply it by 3, and I'll get to 12. Okay, so right now, Rav Yochanan, you want a circumference of 24, but all I need is 12. So honey, mele bi'igula v'al b'rivua bi'inan tfei. So the Gemara says, okay, but good, now I have a circle. But I got to put a square around the circle. So the Gemara says, Michti, kamam ruba yosa alago revia. Now, when I draw a circle around a square, how much larger is it? It's larger by a quarter. So now what I'm going to do is I got to add 25%. So I'm going to take 12 now, another 25%, bishif sasagya. So that's going to be 16. That's way shy of the 24 that Rav Yochanan required. Hani milu igula denafik migo revua, val revua denafik migo igula, bein antve. The Gemara says, okay. But then after we have the circle around the square, we're going to draw a square around the circle. And that's going to give us more because of the obvious corners that are coming out because of the square. So the Gemara says, so now what I'm going to do now, I'm drawing a square around the circle, so I now have to talk about the relationship between the side and the hypotenuse. We've done this as well. Relationship between side to hypotenuse is going to be 1 to 1 and 2 fifths. So now I'm going to take 16, multiply it by 1 and 2 fifths. So that gives me 16 and 5 and 4 fifths, or As the Gemara says, b'shivsar nechichum shasagya. So therefore, it really should come out as 17 minus a fifth, 16 and 4/5. So, okay, simply put now, we're still Rav Yochanan, you're way too much. You said the circumference needs to be 24 when we just did the math, and we did a square, we did a circle around that, we did a square around the circle, and even after going through all those steps, still, it only needs to be 16 and 4/5. So Rav Yochanan Amri, ki dayana de kesare ve'amri la karabana de kesare, de amri igula migo rivua, riva, rivua migo igula palga. So Rav Yochanan is using a different formula. And to put it really simply, it's a formula that mathematically does not compute. Meaning he bases his numbers based on the judges of Kesare. They have the following math. I'm not going to go through the math right now. You'll forgive me, please. But I'm not going to go through the math. But basically, it's on math that's not correct. Now, obviously, it leads to an interesting discussion. Well, how do they arrive at incorrect math? And if the math is incorrect, so how does it result in the halacha? Well, to put it short, it doesn't result in the halacha. Meaning, we work with the numbers that do mathematically compute. How do you understand the Rav Yochanan and the... That's a discussion in of itself. But in the meantime, however, we're going to work with the numbers that do compute, and so therefore it's 17 minus the fifth. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay, Rabbi Hananya, I'm sorry, continue Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon, Ben Shimon Rivka, 4, Falzak Avram, Ben Yakir Abigail, Leilu Nishmas, Rabbi Yaakov Ben Yosef, Rabbi Hananya, Ben Nakash, Amar, Zekash, Baruch, Zekash, Esau, Ficha, Chir, Ben Torah, Mitzvah, Shenemar, Anay, Chafetz, Amansi, Ko, Yadil, Rabbi Yadir.